absolutely brilliant. If you can think of this name, you can look up this man's testimony, called Art Katz, A-T-R Art, and K-A-T-Z. And Art Katz shares his testimony. He's a Jewish Christian believer. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. But he shares his testimony. And he was an atheistic Jew that was living in America, and he wanted to find out the meaning of life. He was a professor teaching students, and he'd asked them questions, not looking for answers for the question, but looking for answers to the meaning of life. And he ended up going on a tour around Europe, around the world, actually, and he ended up somewhere in Switzerland or Germany or something, and he's hitching a lift. And so he was this humanistic, atheistic Jew, and he's tumbling a lift, and he says, in all the cars that went by, his faith in being a humanist was dwindling because no one would stop to give him a lift. And eventually a car stops, and it was a German man picking up a Jew in a Volvo with cream leather seats. And he threw his old, you know, wet haversack into the back seats onto the, he said, what seemed to be a brand new car with cream leather. And the man didn't seem to blink at all. And he's sitting in the front seat with this German man, and the German man says, what are you doing here? And he says, well, I'm a humanistic, atheistic Jew, just trying to find the meaning of life. And he says, and how this world could be a better place and all of this stuff. And the German says to him, I'll tell you how this world can be a better place. And he's like, here's this German going to tell me, a professor. You know, he nearly was offended that the German would say that he had the answer. And he says, this is how the world will be a better place. This is how the meaning of life will change. He says that if the German could wash the Jewish man's feet, or the Jew wash the Arab's feet, or the black man wash the white man's feet, and the white man wash the black man's feet, and he says it'll be a different world. Isn't that an incredible statement? That if a husband that's fighting with the wife could wash her feet, it'd be a different marriage. If friends that fall out together could do the same, it would be a different friendship. That was really powerful, Reuben. And as Reuben says, if you've never done it, ask the Lord to lead you. Don't just pick, you know, anyone's old feet. People are freaked about feet as well, aren't they? Remember them ice pops, freaky feet. People are absolutely, you say to most people, I bet we've done a survey right now, you go, oh, I hate feet. We do a survey. Do you hate feet? There's two. Do you love your feet? Whoa. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord. And we do ask, Lord, we know we've heard the power of this. And Jesus said, you go and do likewise. So, Lord, would you lead us? If not even in a physical way, Lord, but in some way that humbles us before others, oh God, to enable them to experience refreshing, Lord God. We thank you, Father. We just thank you for the cross and for what you've done for us, oh God. And I pray that each one of us would absolutely experience the fullness of what Jesus died for, that we could attain and have in our life, and that we could give away to others in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a great time of the year to start something new. And everyone has probably, after being in the gym last week and stop going this week, and I'm not going till after January because I don't want to be one of those people in the stats like that I was last year. And you know, it is great songs choice by the worship team. You know, God, we look to you. I lay it all down. Just really, really, you know, I was thinking of this for the last while about the whole concept, not concept, principle, God honoring principle that God honors when it's put in place is the whole area of first fruits. And I was thinking, you know, you give Jesus, the first fruits in the Bible was that you brought the first fruit of your land or first fruit of your crop or animals or whatever, and you gave it to God. And here was God's principle, that when you give me the first fruits, the rest of it will be blessed. And you see them going into the promised land. They took Jericho, was the first city. And God says, don't touch anything in the city. Every piece of the gold and the you know, the whatever, what's that word that they use? All the treasure, that's not the word I'm looking for, but I'll find it eventually. That all of the stuff is to be given to God. Why? Because it was the first city. It was the first fruit. And he's like, you give me that city and everything in that city, the spoils, that's the word. If you give me all the spoils, dedicate it unto me, or make sure you have victory in all the rest. And I was thinking about, what about, what would it be like if we had give God our first fruits, our first thought in the morning? God, I look to you. Or we gave him our first hour. Or we gave him our first, like, Lord, what's your plans for my life today? Yeah, I have to go to work. Yeah, I have to raise my family. But what's your plans that's interwoven, that you give him all that? What about, like, you know, it's what about if we gave him our first fruits of our treasure? He says everything else will be blessed after that. The New Testament principle is the same. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. And this is the first month, and this is like a first month type of message. But if you don't need it today, you may need it next month. If you don't need it next month, you will use it somewhere in the rest of your life. And I'm just trying to work things out in my head, and I'm calling this step by step. And it's going to cover a couple of things of over the next months that I'm preaching to you anyway, of looking at what God says about certain things in the scriptures. But what are the steps that we can find in the scriptures where we can attain, where we can take hold of what God has already said to us? Because as that song said, everything we need is in Jesus. Like, he's already done it. The key now for us is accessing what he's already given to us. Is finding the steps, it's finding the principles of the scriptures that he has. And what I want to speak on this morning for the next few minutes is personal revival. You know, if you've never heard this word, or you've never read about revivals of God breaking out in the world, and where unprecedented pouring out, like the drama of heaven being spilled over onto the earth. And you see it in the Old Testament, you'll see it in the New Testament, and you'll see it in recent history over the last couple of hundred years, or even from the beginning of the church. You'll see the church goes south, the church goes dead, and God's sovereignly pours out his spirit on a group of people, or a town, or a nation, or a church, or whatever. And every journey begins with one step, doesn't it? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with taking one step. And revival and personal revival needs steps to be taken so that we can access more of God, more of the Spirit of God. And revival is one of those things where some people hate people talking about it, because I'm 27 years walking with Jesus and I've heard the word revival all of my life, and I've been longing and loving and waiting and dreaming and expecting God to pour out his Spirit in a way that no man, no church, no ministry gets the glory, but he gets all the praise and all the glory. And I was at a meeting a couple of years ago, and there was a man from Hillsong from Australia who helped start the Hillsong Church with Brian Houston, and he was speaking, and no, he wasn't even speaking, he just came to visit, and everyone got talking to him, and you know, they probably 20,000 going to their church, and he was saying, he started this thing about Ireland should have like 20 churches of 20,000 and something like, I'll have to think of the right math, and something like 1,000 churches of 1,000 people. And that sort of went around like wildfire. And everyone that got up to lead the meetings, they were talking in this manner. And it was brilliant. It was like, wow. And I went home, and I really believe that God's going to pour out his Spirit. I honestly live for them days. I really do. Because I tell you why. Because I went home that day and that evening. And I was thinking back over the weekend that I'd just been on, and this man and the buzz. And I was all excited about it. And yet there was something in me that was a bit troublesome, and I worked as a bookie for a number of years, and figures like fly around my head, and I'm good at putting math together and all that stuff, and I was like, no, I hope I get it right now. You're gonna be counting it all up. But I was like, so 20 churches of 20,000 is 400,000, and 1,000 churches of 1,000 is 1,000,000, if I'm right. And I was like, that's only 1.4 million. So even if we work our socks off, even if every church in Ireland does every outreach that they can, and we reach 1.4 million, like, that's a lot of people. But there's still another 5 million people on this island that wouldn't have been touched by God. So I came to the conclusion, this has to be us doing what we can, but ultimately, God pouring out his Spirit. Because the Bible says, can a nation be won in a day? And the answer is yes. That God can pour out. And if you look over history, you will see God doing this in ways where places just across this little pond here in Wales, God poured out his Spirit, where people would be cycling to work, men from the Moines that were hard men and hard drinkers getting down off their bikes and repenting before God with no other person inside. There was signs on trees going into towns and villages and even cities that said, beware, the presence of God is in this place. And I'm like, yes, come on. Now, no, you can't go anywhere, but you're bumping in to the goodness of God in every place. Now, I believe that God wants this type of revival for me, personally. That I can be a firebrand, that I can keep the fire lit of my life for God. And here's the way a man in the Hebrides in Scotland, there was a great revival there that they found out, this is what you find out about revival, that it might be the masses receive the benefits of it, but you usually find a couple of people praying and believing. And I'll tell you, every Tuesday night here, there's people in this room praying and believing for God to do something sovereign in this place that will spread out into other places. And you find when you go to the revival books and you go to the history books that you find that this is where it all comes down to. That there's a group of people. And in the Hebrides, there was two school teachers praying. And the revival broke out amongst the children in the school. And it broke out, and the leader that became the leader of the revival, Duncan Campbell, here's what he calls revival. He says, revival is not churches filled with people, but people filled with God. So my definition for this morning of personal revival is not like that we just do the ABC of Christianity, but that we're a people filled with God. Revival is people saturated with God, filled with the fullness of God, that the life of Christ is revealed to other people. It's bringing our life into alignment with the biblical patterns of God. And throughout history, I'd encourage you to read up on them, because that's what we can expect in the future. Amen? And on our part, we come into alignment with God. And this is our steps to revival, personal revival for ourselves. And I want us to look at the book of Ezekiel. This is one of these, if anyone's going to preach in revival, they're going to preach from this chapter 37. And I want to take away from the mass and bring it down the steps that we can take. Here's what Ezekiel says. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones, and he led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dried. Revival is breathing life into something that once had life. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know that. Then he said to me, speak, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. And I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. So Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling, a sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood to their feet, a vast and valiant army. Amen. So this is some of the steps to what we see in revival. Step one is getting alone with God. This is where he says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit and set me in a valley. A valley is a quiet place. A valley is a place of beauty. A valley of a place of meeting. A valley is a place where you can be alone with no one else enjoying the beauty. And Ezekiel says, he brought me to that place. To have personal revival, we need to place a renewed importance on a quiet place and a quiet time with God. It's in this quiet place, it's in this solitary place where we hear the voice of God. Listen to what he said, and the Lord said to me, In this quiet place, the Lord spoke to him intimately. It wasn't someone up the front speaking. It wasn't someone prophesying into his life. He heard God. God spoke to him. God still speaks today. The same God that spoke, that whispered into the ear of Ezekiel to do certain things, is the same God that would call us and draw us aside. It's in the quiet place where faith is renewed, where hope is renewed. It's in the quiet place where we receive the orders from the commander-in-chief, Jesus. It's in this place where we can be honest with him. It's in this place where we can get on our face before him. It's in this place where we can sing and nobody will tell us we're a bad singer. It's in this place where we don't only deal with religious acts, but we encounter him. We encounter his voice. We encounter what he wants to say to us. It's in these times the Lord can tell us his plan. It's in these times the Lord cannot even speak verbally or into your heart, but his presence around you speaks of him near, that you're never alone, that you're never by yourself. It's in these times where you can, I remember a time, like I used to be in an office out in my back garden, and it's like made of, it's a cool structure. And it used to be my office before we had a building and all that stuff. And that was good. But I used to go in there to have my quiet time. And I had a nice carpet, like good patching on the carpet. But I'd go in and I'd start to sing and put music. And I'd have my word there. And have, you know, I was like, Lord, I love you. And inevitably, I'd find myself on my knees. Like, it's like when God's presence comes in a way. I don't know about you, but I always feel like I need to get down. It's like the glory of God is called, it means the weight of God. When you're reading the Bible, the glory of God, it means the weight of God. And it's like when the glory of God comes, like the only way for us is like the Adam is drawn back to the dust. And it's like where we came from is drawn there, but our spirit keeps looking to him because, you know, I don't know about you, but my body seems to be getting drawn to the ground as I get older. Everything is going south, you know. But my spirit is looking up because that's where that came from. And the dust wants to go back to the dust. And I remember I'd go there, I'd go in and I'd lie, and then before now I'm on my face, honestly, and it starts off in a good way, it's like I'm glorifying God, but I always fell asleep. And I used to go, and then I'd go in, I feel a bit guilty, I'm about to fall asleep, it's supposed to be in there, and the square patching of the thing beyond me forehead, I kid you not. And then Sharon says, no, there's nothing more intimate and more secure than being able to sleep beside someone. It's like, there's no fear in it. And I was like, wow, so I used to go in there for a sleep, no one is. But there was nothing like it. I'm telling you, in all of the world. Now there's a battle for it. You know, there's distractions. The enemy only hasn't got weapons of mass destruction. He's weapons of mass distractions. There you go. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. Oh, what'll I do for dinner today? It's amazing. The things that, or I need to attend to that. I need to attend. No, but give him your first fruits. Like thoughts, I'll put you aside. I'm giving him my first thought. The way to personal revival is to place a renewed importance on our quiet time. Step two is a renewed commitment to the Word of God. It's to know this Word. It's to get this Word into us. And the words that God is, listen to what he says. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and flesh upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. This was the word of the Lord to Ezekiel. And God has given you and I words. And sometimes we need to just be on our own and say them out loud again. This is what God has said to me. This is what God has, this is what's being prophesied over my life. I'm not living in it now. In fact, I could be even far away from it. But see, when you start prophesying and start speaking what God said he'd already told you, you bring yourself into alignment for revival. That there's renewed faith, there's renewed hope, there's renewed vigor, there's renewed courage. No, I'm getting back into it. I'm going to get into it. I remember a couple of months ago, someone says to me, I couldn't believe this fell out of my mouth, bro. I was just being honest. Last week in our D Street, in our location there, they said in the rally call, what are you grateful for this year? What are you thankful for? And I kid you not, this is the honest truth. I'm thankful. This is what I said. I'm thankful I got out of 2016 with my sanity. And I couldn't believe I said something so negative. I was like, But that's the truth. That's the truth. And I remember looking in the mirror during the year, and I was putting on makeup or something, I don't know what it was, and they showing me eyebrows around fleek, or and I was looking in the mirror, I was only joking, I heard all that from my daughters, but I remember saying, come on, Noel. Like it came out of my spirit. I was like, come on, Noel. Get up, get into it. But it's like sometimes you have to look in the mirror and speak to yourself and call out the very things that God has put into you. Come on, there's more for you to do. Come on, the dreams of God are still there. You need to activate them. And this is what Ezekiel did when he was on his own. The word of the Lord came to him. Not the word of man, not the word of friends, not the word of well-doing people, but the word of the Lord came to him. And when the Lord speaks, the stuff that he speaks happens. But in our quiet time and in getting recommitted to the word of God, we are now speaking the very words that God spoke. You know when God said, let there be light, there was light. God's word in your mouth is as powerful as his word in his mouth. It's a creative word. It's a word that causes seas to open up. It's a word that opens blind eyes. It's a word that can tell things that are not that they are, and they will be. And personal revival, we need to be drawn back into that place where we're speaking out what God has said, a commitment to what he said and a commitment to what he's written. Get the word of God into us afresh. Let us make a recommitment to the word of God, because I'm telling you, your life and my life is going to be challenged in days to come. What are we going to believe? What? Government is saying, I'm not all conspiracy theorists, but you're going to be asked to make decisions in the next couple of years that will go against this word. And we need to know this word. Because we're going to be left with what Jesus said, or we're going to be left with what man has said, what man's emotions are saying, what man's theories are. This is what's right for humanity, but it's going against the word of God. It's our sustenance. It's our strength. It's our bread. Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone. It's the word of God that's going to keep us in the end. Step 3. He said, prophesy and tell the wind to come. Step 3 to renewal or revival is a fresh engagement with the Holy Spirit. He's been given to us. He's the one that makes all this so exciting. When you commit yourself to him being our leader and him being our teacher and him being our guide, I'm telling you, you will see signs and wonders and miracles and breakthroughs and loving on people that you never even thought possible. It's him that will lead you to wash feet. And when he tells you to wash someone's feet, I'm telling you, miracles happen. Quick story about the feet thing. Years ago, me and Sharon lived by faith. Patrice was only a baby. We probably had Becky. I was after leaving my job as a manager in a bookies to go to Bible college. We'd no money, no nothing. Sharon had, we were just talking about this yesterday. She had Becky. She had postnatal depression. Then we had Naomi, and then we carried through because of nearness. And on top of all that, we were living by faith. And we just said yesterday to each other, how did we come through that season of our lives? Because, you know, maybe many of the ladies may have suffered postnatal depression or have known someone. And even as a husband, like, I wanted to kill my wife on top of her having this depression, because it was just the craziest time in our lives that I remember we were just saying this yesterday. I worked for a whole week. I was in Bible college. I worked for a whole week after college in the college to pay for, so that they'd let me go to a men's retreat at the end of the week. And, you know, like, some of my work was paying for it. And I'd worked all the week, and come the Friday, Sharon rings me, and crying and sobbing, I want you home. For what, honey? I walked all the week to go to this men's retreat. And on the way, I said to my pastor, I says, oh, Sharon wants me to go home. And he goes, you go home to your wife. I said, yes, sir, you're dead right. Went home. She was happy now. That's all right now. It's all right. I have no money to get the bus out to this place. And so that's what I mean. Boy, I wanted to kill her. And yes, she was suffering all this. And in the midst of all this, I remember I had 10 euro. And there was a couple that I worked with in another set of flats. One of my closest friends, for some reason, they decided to talk about me and all that stuff. And I don't know what they were even saying. But I didn't know any of this. But I was praying in the valley, in the quiet place. And the word of the Lord came to me. He says, I want you to go up to Dunstores, up in Crumlin. I want you to buy a basin, a towel, and 2 pairs of fresh socks. And I want you to go over and wash Mary and Johnny for this. I don't say that. My real name was, no. And I was like, Lord, that's the only £10 I had. It was £10. And I was like, whatever. So I went and done it. I got the stuff and I went over. And I bowed down. I said to him, look, I'm just trying to obey the Lord. I felt he'd said this to me. It's okay if I come in and do this. Yeah. Got warm water, soapy water, warm water. Washed the husband, took off his sock, washed his feet, dried his feet, put socks on. And it was the wife's time. And as I'm wearing the presence of God, see, that's what I thought Reuben was going to say. When you do this, something happens. When it's in God, the presence of God came. She started confessing all of this stuff. No, we've been sticking knives in your back. We've been And the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit leading, the Holy Spirit, a renewed commitment to saying, Holy Spirit, will you lead me? We can't leave him out of the equation. He's the dynamic. He's the one that brings the word. He's the one the Father and Son speaks. He says he leads us into truth. He brings the word of heaven. He's the one that leads us in. Go on and wash feet and you see people getting released from being held up in bondage now. Go on and give that person a fiver. Go on and say to that person on the street, I don't know you, but I want to tell you God's plan is not finished for you. He does this type of thing, but we have to have a commitment of renewing a relationship with him that's on a daily basis so that we can have a revival going on all the time. If you reach out to him there, he'll change your here. And he will cause us to move in a heavenly atmosphere. I wanted that to rap, but I couldn't rap. If we reach out to him there, Holy Spirit, I'm committed to what you want me to do today. I might need courage. I might need boldness. I might have to overcome my own thinking. But Lord, I want to step out into this. And I tell you, you can walk in an atmosphere of grace and love that we've never experienced before. Because if not, we'll just go the longs of look over history. And you'll see churches that were full of this stuff. And then they allow dryness. And they wouldn't allow renewal cycles to come in to their own lives as leaders and then as church. And then the church is gone. I don't want us to be that. I want to give our kids something that they can say thank you for. I want to give the next generation something that they can say, thank you for giving us this, instead of saying, what in the world did you leave us? If we're new, listen, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, talk to Jesus. If you've never spoken tongues, you've never moved in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, I need this. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says speaking in tongues personally is constant renewing your yourself in the Lord. It's constantly building yourself up in faith. That's what the Bible says. If you've not done it, if you're out of practice, start moving in it again. When you're driving, speak for 5 minutes in tongues, 10 minutes in tongues. Ask the Holy Spirit, can he bring you to a place of speaking an hour in tongues? And I tell you, you'll move into things of the Holy Spirit. I read a book one time that like a man says he prayed for an hour in tongues. We're a Pentecostal church. We believe in this stuff. It's in the Bible. We've experienced this stuff. I remember read this guy said that he prayed for an hour in tongues. And I says, Lord, I want to go into that place. This is only a couple of years ago. I want to go into that place. And but I could never do it because I was always watching the clock. I'd be like, no, 5 minutes. Like after 10 minutes, I'm like, Lord, this is crazy. I can't stop thinking about other things and all this stuff. And one day I decided, no, it's not about the clock, Noah. It's about your heart. It's about your desires. It's about what you want from God. And I stuck, here's the truth, I was coming home from Bray and I stuck in traffic. I don't know what it is about Bray, but I'm beginning to think it's spiritual. I'm not joking. I drive across the M50 every Wednesday on the way back from football. And I look at the signs and it always says, delay at Bray. And I'd be like, Lord, what is going on? And honestly, I'm actually starting to pray, not about the traffic, but about that scripture that says that he who comes, he'll come and will not delay. And I'm like, Lord, is there any spiritual stuff blocking up Bray that we need to be aware of so that we can pray against? And I'm not being hyper-spiritual. I'm like, this is crazy stuff. And anyway, I'm driving home, going back that way, back to Dublin, and we're just at a standstill. And I start praying in tongues. And I made a decision, I'm going to go for this. And after a few minutes, the tongues that I pray in normally in my bedroom, my personal tongues, started to change. There was the only word I can say, like a greater force, a greater volume, different words that I wasn't. And all I can say is, I got into a place where, you know, when they were breaking the sound of speed, is that the right word? Speed of sound. Every time they get an airplane to a place, just before they break the speed of sound, there was always like this, the plane was going to break up. And we're like, we're backing off, Captain. This is going to break up. And they back off. But someone went through it. And so they're breaking up. And then they hit the sound barrier. And next minute, it went. Like they were flowing in this. And that's the only way I can describe it. And I start praying in Chinese. Now, I don't know any Chinese except chicken curry fried rice. No one isn't diced. I knew it was Chinese, I kid you not, because my hand was moving like I was in a war. I'm not joking, you tease up the front of me daughter like that, you're embarrassing me. I'm telling you, this is a true experience. And I was praying for some people that I didn't even know. Now, maybe I was praying for people in China, I don't know. But the adventure of being able to tell you this, right? I was in a meeting in Stephen Mom's meeting up in, it's in August and it's called King's Hospital, Conference. And I was up there, right? And it's like, now it doesn't take me long to get into that place. That's the key. It doesn't take me an hour. It doesn't take me 40 minutes to get into a place where the Holy Spirit wants to use you in spiritual dimensions. And I'm up in Kings, and I was preaching up there. If you ever preach for Stephen Mons, you'd be praying way into 1 o'clock in the morning. He works you when you're speaking. And I was speaking, and I looked down, and I knew those tongues were there. And like I was praying with people, I could hear them and whatever. And I seen a Chinese woman down in the line ready for prayer. I said, I can't wait to get to her. Because if I pray in those tongues, maybe she knows what I'm saying. And anyway, I had to then discipline myself not to just, you know, go, Lord, bless that person. So like, oh, you know, you have to be committed to each person. And like, but that was the struggle. And the woman was down there and I was like, just about to get to her. And then I got to her. Where I kid you not, I put my hands on her. She gets slain in the spirit and she's out on the deck. Like just lying there in the spirit of God. I never even got to say anything. I never even got to do anything. But I wanted, why am I saying all that? That we have to renew a commitment to the things of the spirit. And then we will flow in the spirit. And last step four. When you do this, it's renewed purpose in our lives. A valiant army stands up. A vast army stands up. An army that's ready for orders. An army that has the breath of God, the spirit of God. An army, the thing about the spirit coming and the breath coming, there's always noise and rattles when the Holy Spirit comes. He rattles us up a little bit. He makes noises that people that want to just settle for religion don't really like. But like when he comes, he gets a bit messy. And what might look messy down here might be the most ordered thing in heaven that can touch earth. And I want us to pray this morning. I want us in our heart to make a commitment to God. I want a personal revival. Even if you're on fire now, I'm telling you there's more fire. Even if you've seen great things in your life, there's greater things to come. He's that type of God. He's a God of abundance. He's a God who goes from glory to glory to glory. Every time you think you haven't boxed in, he shows you another aspect of his character and nature, and he blows us away all over again. But if you don't remember this, I kid you not, the last time I spoke about tongues and the Holy Spirit here, a fella from RD Street, his name is Bren, and he was listening to it in his car going to work, and he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, listening to the podcast from this location here. And he said, it just came out. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to have anyone laying hands on you. The Holy Spirit will do it when he wants to do it. Jesus is the baptizer, and if you ask him, he's committed to you. So could we stand?